It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
What's up, Scott Mitchell?
Well, it is now Wednesday, which is hump day. Means it's right in the middle. Get over this little hump here, and it's all downhill from here.
Oh, that's how you took
hump
day?
That's how it works. Right. Yeah, it's getting over the hump.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are, and that's where you are.
Well, technically, we're here, so you don't count today, so really it's actually tomorrow.
That's what I used to do with my birthday.
Yeah.
Well, we're there. Yeah. It's Christmas, yeah. Basically.
Right.
Okay, how many days till Christmas? We're there.
Yeah.
I mean, it is tomorrow, but
that's how you got yourself through training camp.
Yes. Oh, that's what you told yourself?
Yeah. You can't count today because you're already here, so it's actually tomorrow.
What was the – okay, like when you're a pro – because I remember when I was in high school and just all growing up, and you're doing conditioning and stuff, right?
Right.
And it's not easy being the lineman doing the conditioning, okay?
Of course. Got all that extra weight.
But here's the thing. When you're a pro, is the conditioning like brutal? Like I think under Don Shula, I feel like it'd be brutal.
The easiest conditioning in my entire career playing football was in professional football.
See, and that's what I think, because at that point, you guys are you're killing yourselves. Like in the off season,
most guys run a lot in practice.
So they're
during practice
they're going after it.
Yeah,
because that's one thing too. That you go, man, these guys they're in really good shape, and then you go, well, how much conditioning are they doing? And you go, now if you get to this point. You don't have to ask to be conditioned. You're just there.
Yeah.
Most people.
Unless
you're Jamarcus Russell. And it's like.
There's this thing about coaches. They feel they have to torture you with conditioning.
High school coaches.
High school
for sure.
Coaches, yeah.
I can remember.
And I experienced that. The hardest for me, and I had some hard-nosed high school coaches. That they loved the torture of up-downs.
Another gasser.
Yeah. The hardest I had it, though, was when I was in college. Jim Fossil was brutal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and his conditioning.
See.
18 half-gassers every Monday.
See, and we used to do the thing where you do the gassers, and, like, if we were really, like, on his bad side, and, you know, like, you're doing it by quarters. So it'd be, like, fourth quarter, you know, and you're dying, right. You know. And at that point, the timing kind of goes out the window because they're trying to be nice to the fat guys. And then when he would go, it's overtime, like, you'd go, okay.
You want to kill
coach. Hates us.
Yeah.
I hate him. Anyway. That's not what we want to put you through today. We
want it to be easy. You just ran, you jogged on Monday like a mile.
Right.
Maybe it was like a mile and a half.
This is at the U. This is
no,
at
this
Utah.
Was when I was in college.
Oh, okay.
That was conditioning on Monday. Pretty much every NFL team. It's like just break a sweat.
Jog a mile.
A mile, whatever.
Jogging a mile. If you would have asked me to jog a mile to start practice off as a lineman in high school, I would have been like, I really am considering quitting this team.
And then Tuesday was your day off.
Okay.
Wednesday, you ran 3 gassers after practice. Thursday, you ran 3 gassers after practice.
Friday's a walkthrough.
That was the end. Well, right. Friday wasn't a walkthrough practice. Friday was a non-padded practice.
Right. Friday was the shorts and the,
but
the helmets.
You did not condition.
Right. Yeah, that's what that was kind of the vibe.
And then like Saturday was walkthrough.
Okay.
And that was your week. That was it.
Okay. Well, it's conditioning day today, everybody. So here we go. We're going to kick things off. We're just going to go right at it. It's going to be brutal. We're going to get through this together. And at the end, you might hate us during the middle of it, but at the end, we're all going to be better for it. So here's where we're going to kick things off. It's The Cut right at the top of the show.
Here we go. The Unquestioned. undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utes all trust. Visit uofuhealth.org today. That's uofuhealth.org. Proud sponsors of The Cut. So anytime you get an alert that says, hey, breaking news, effective immediately, then my interest is peaked. So the Pac-12 had a, hey, guess what? There is some breaking stuff here, and this is effective immediately. And we're going to get into the details of it. But as of right now, as of today, you will no longer have the winner of the South and the winner of the North in the Pac-12 division top teams be just your automatic play-ins of the Pac-12 championship game. It's not going to be a South rep and a North rep automatically.
That's huge.
It has now gone
to... It's a huge deal for the conference.
Huge. Huge deal. And it's great for football, to be quite honest. And it's just another step before we get to the point where we're not going to have divisions. But that being said, the big news is today, you will not have it just divided by the North champion, the South champion. It's going to be best conference winning percentages. The two best winning conference percentages are going to play each other. So you could have two North teams, could have two South teams.
Right, and I love that. I know we're going to get into it later. Are we going to get into it later?
We will, but like I just want to make sure
we're
not.
You just want to break the news here.
Well, and it's not, you know, we're not trying to hide anything. We're not going to, we'll roll it out later, but I'm just saying that that's, I want to make sure everybody knows it's on our radar. It's an amazing thing. And interestingly enough, we went back and kind of looked at the history of it. And there are some teams, there are some changes that would have been made in some more recent Pac-12 championship games, including one year that Utah would not have played in the conference championship game.
I just like it because it shows that the Pac-12 is being proactive.
Like, they have golf.
They're not waiting for stuff. They're right. Just going, this is a good idea. This is a great idea. And they don't have to sit there for years and years and years, and they just go, let's implement.
Yeah. So that's where we're at today.
Nice.
I want to get into a ranking that I saw, and I want to get what your vibe is. So there's this ranking of the top Power 5 coaches in the country. And because BYU is on the outside of the Power 5 conferences right now, but are kind of just, you know, they're waiting for this thing. They're pending, right? They're booting up to be a part of those Power 5 teams. I want to know if we can put Kalani, if we could insert him, or if he deserves to be inserted into that top 25 discussion as well. So I'm going to go look through some of these coaches, and you tell me where we're at. And I'm going to start from the top. Nick Saban is the number one coach in Power 5 coaches. That's an easy one because he's the number one coach of all time in college
football. Can I just stop you right there?
Yep.
Okay, you just take your top seven guys here.
Yeah,
they're all garbage.
What are you talking about?
Except for
about?
Nick Saban.
Okay.
Okay.
Why is Kirby Smart garbage?
Well, let me just tell you why Nick Saban's really
good.
How
is Dabo Sweeney garbage?
Let me tell you why Nick Saban is the very best coach. It's really simple. Nick Saban gets all the best players. You know what he does with them? He actually makes them better. When players leave Alabama and they go on to the pros, they actually become pretty good pros, too exceptional. And a lot of these other programs,
they're just churning out guys who have a lot of stars, and they're just kind of babysitting them until
NFL. Ryan Day. I mean, what Jim Harbaugh said where he started on third base. I mean, you could say that pretty much with all of these coaches here. And what have you really done with it? I mean, what Nick Saban's done, and I just get more and more impressed with a guy I don't really like in Nick Saban. But he has really done it the right way. And he pushes these players to excellence, and they are taught, and they develop fundamentals. They develop great habits of like practice habits, physical habits, game, you know, they don't just show up and out athlete you.
Well, and people just assume too, well, Nick Saban gets all this talent. That's why he's that good. But there's more to the story.
Yes. Like all these teams get really good talent. All of them do. I mean, the difference is just how they train and how they develop players at Alabama. I think it's different.
Let me just get you straight then.
Do you want to know
Kirby Smart, two.
Do you want to know who should be number two?
Dabo Sweeney, three. Clay Helton.
Clay Helton is not even at USC. He's number four. Like, Clay Helton shouldn't even be in the top 25. Clay Helton took USC and basically dismantled it, destroyed it.
Okay.
I mean, you talk about the fall of Rome, the fall of Troy. Like the Trojan horse rode in the name of Clay Helton, and he totally...
Oh, it's not Clay Helton. It's Lincoln Riley.
Oh.
It just said USC's. It said Clay Helton next to it. I'm going, what is Jeremy smoking over here? Clay Helton, where is he now? Southern Georgia Southern, right? Yeah.
All right.
Not a Power 5 team.
Yeah.
Not yet, though. No. They could be invited.
But here's where Kyle Whittingham goes, in my opinion. Number two.
So he's eight on the list. That's why you said the next seven. You said one through seven are garbage. Through seven are garbage.
Are garbage. Okay.
So Kyle Whittingham should be number two. Not that there's any biases that work into this, Scott, but please explain why he jumps over. Let me tell you the group again. Brian Kelly, seven. Ryan Day, six. Jimbo Fisher, five. Lincoln Riley, four. Dabo Sweeney, two. Kirby Smart, who just won the national championship over Nick Saban, my friend.
Kirby Smart may be – no.
Okay. Because he talked himself out of it.
No. Here, Dabo Sweeney, no. Lincoln Riley, no.
I love that you call him Dabo.
Listen, I don't care what I call him. You all know who he is. All right? He's at Clemson.
Hey, Dabo.
We understand who he is.
Hey, Dabo.
Quit interrupting me. Lincoln Riley, what did he do at OU? Here's what these coaches do. Brian Kelly, we sit here and talk every year about how overrated Notre Dame is. And everybody loves Notre Dame. Everybody loves Notre Dame.
That's not true. No, not very many people like
Notre Dame. Oh, no, they do. Notre Dame is the most spoiled, pampered program in all of college football. Period. They get more passes. They live off of different rules than anybody.
A little bit of the Yankees, right? Where they're like
1,000%. And he's at Notre Dame. Like you should be winning national championships every year when you're at Ohio State, you should be competing for a national championship with the kind of talent you get. Ryan Day may be the Clay Helton of Ohio State. Like he's not really doing anything to really
he won the Rose Bowl
Jimbo
last year,
Fisher,
not bad, right? He's won the Big Ten a couple of times. Come on.
I understand. Right. And here's what happens to these coaches, okay? Same thing with Harbaugh. Same thing with – they all go to the college football playoffs. And what do they do when they're there? They lose. I may keep Dabo Sweeney in there. But I'm not keeping – Jimbo Fisher gets the best college football recruiting classes at Texas A&M.
Scott, that's exactly why he should be on this list, because
they don't
A&M,
do anything with it. They get the best players and they don't do anything. That's my point. Nick Saban
Scott,
gets
Texas
the best
A&M,
players, and he does something with it.
Texas A&M is relevant in a state where the team up the street, from College Station to Austin, it's about an hour and a half drive. And let me just tell you right now, Texas A&M is like a low second tier team in comparison to Texas. And Jimbo Fisher has put Texas A&M, when he took that job, I remember thinking, this is kind of a dumb move by him. He just left Florida State to go to Texas A&M. Maybe it's because I grew up in a place where, you know, people didn't like the Aggies where I grew up. I mean, it was like it was Texas and like some spattering of A&M fans, and people are like, A&M's garbage. But Jimbo Fisher, I know that there might be this thought of they're underperforming compared to the talent that they bring in there. Jimbo Fisher brings talent to Texas A&M, and they're really, really close.
But they beat Alabama last year. Made your own argument.
They beat Alabama last year.
What did they get at the end of the day? They didn't get anywhere. None of them got anywhere. When you're a coach that gets less talent and makes more of less talent, I'm saying
you were asking
me about Kalani Sitake. Kalani Sitake has it harder than Kyle Whittingham. Because not only is he not a Power 5 school, but he's also a religious school that has pretty stringent requirements on its students.
Academic-wise, too.
On top of the honor code. And to do what Kalani Sitake has done at BYU is remarkable. It's far more impressive than any one of these guys. The same thing with Kyle Whittingham at Utah.
So what about Luke Fickell then out of Cincinnati, right? You're a Cincinnati guy.
Same kind of thing.
Put him on the map like crazy.
Same kind of thing. That's where coaches are really coaching. That's where that's to me what I think is a great coach. When you go into a program and you make it better than what it was before, and you do it through the program that you bring, the way the athletes are developed, and whether you win or lose.
I'm here for this TED Talk. I'm like
I mean, you can't like you can't tell me places like UCLA. Like these are schools like they don't have the barrier that Utah or BYU or shoot Cincinnati has. It's a name. It's well respected, and USC is the same way. I'm not sold on Lincoln Riley yet, but I don't know. Like I just wasn't overly impressed with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Like he got them to a place, but. They weren't a complete team.
Developed a lot of really good individual quarterbacks.
Offensive, yes. Right. Explosion.
So, but now, take some solace in this, Scott. The very first non-blue blood coach on this list is Kyle Whittingham. Like, he's the one that gets the first recognition of not being on one of these teams that is the very, very, very top of the names of college football.
Brian Kelly at LSU. Brian Kelly should not be...
Why is he not on this list?
He is. He's the
seventh. They won 10 games at Notre Dame in 6 out of the last 7 seasons.
Who do they play?
Like a lot of really good teams.
And they
Scott.
Really don't. They don't play. They play.
Okay.
They play. Don't tell me USC is a good team because they're not. They weren't.
Now, USC is not a good team.
No.
I have a real hard time because we haven't seen enough out of Lincoln Riley. Right? Fine. You can have that. Kyle Whittingham should be on the list. Jim Harbaugh is number 9 behind Kyle Whittingham. Coming off of the Big Ten title. So there you go. You won the Big Ten.
Now Jim Climb Harbaugh is the biggest disappointment of all the Power Fives. This is a guy that got all the players again, Alex.
Now,
this is Michigan. This is one of the top programs in the country. And you can't win at Michigan. You can't find a way to beat Ohio State. Fine, they beat them this last year. And then they were garbage in the playoffs. Terrible.
They were bad. Another guy that should probably be higher than he is on the list and has done less with more, I mean more with less, Mike Gundy, number 10 at Oklahoma State.
I would agree with that.
He's one of those guys that Oklahoma State is an afterthought, right?
In Oklahoma it is.
Not just in Oklahoma, but like in
everywhere.
That entire part of the country. Like it is an afterthought, and Mike Gundy won 12 games with them last year, and he is every year putting them in a position to be able to win basically every game.
Would Texas – and Oklahoma leave the Big 12, and everyone goes, there's no programs now. I mean, that's what people are saying. It's like there's no marquee program. And so here's – I mean, that's the respect or that's the view people have of Oklahoma State.
But here's the thing, though, because after we just say that, 10, 11, 12 on the list are Oklahoma State, Baylor, Iowa State, three teams that are going to remain in the Big 12 and are going to be really good teams – I think Baylor and Oklahoma State are going to be really good teams basically every year. They're going to be a hard team to beat every stinking year. Baylor was set back off of some really bad stuff that happened at that school. They were terrible when I was growing up. The program turned it all the way around.
They had some bad things going on.
And then they had a Heisman Trophy winner, and then they got to the spot where they're getting into these huge bowl games, and they're in this discussion, and they're right there. Dave Aranda change things there. And so if you're looking at it and you go, yeah, none of these teams are that important. I mean, these Big 12 teams are not that good. BYU is going into a weak conference. But Texas and Oklahoma, you couldn't even name their coach right now if you're driving along, most of you, right? You go, I couldn't even tell you who's coaching Oklahoma. That's why. So Oklahoma, blue blood program, no coach to be seen anywhere on this list because and if you were to put Kalani Sitake on this list, if you were to just look at this top 25 – NC State's Dave Doran is on this list at 25. Mel Tucker, 24. PJ Fleck, the man with the vest and the ties at 23 for Minnesota. Sam Pittman had a heck of the last couple years with Arkansas. I don't know why Pat Fitzgerald's on this list at 21. I think it's just because he does more with less. High standards at a school like Northwestern. But again, if Northwestern is doing well, normally you look around and go, yeah, the Big Ten's not doing that great. North Carolina with Mac Brown, that's just like a throwaway, I think, because they did not have a great year last year.
They still think Mac Brown is a Texas winning national championship.
No, I know. They just see Mac Brown and go, great guy. Hey, but he's an elder statesman. He's like head coach emeritus, and so they go, yeah, throw him a bone. Mario Cristobal should not be number 19.
Where should he be?
He should be a little further down the list. Put him at 22, 23, maybe even out of the top 25. He just went to a new school, and I don't think he's as good as everybody thinks that he is. Kalani Sitake, if he were in a Power 5 program right now, probably would be in that slot between like a Lane Kiffin, Mario Cristobal, because of what he's doing with now. But that being said, he goes to the Big 12, and you might see BYU's record go totally south, and you have to kind of reset and see where this team is. But I think that Kalani Sitake has turned this program around to the point, and they're close enough to being a Power 5 discussion team that you could look and go, hey, Luke Fickell's in that same category, right? About to be a Power 5 coach, but has done Power 5 things.
The problem, I think, with this whole list is the school. I think the schools create bias.
The schools have a background, right? They have a legacy that don't have anything to do with the coach's name next to
it. I don't think Mel Tucker's even in the top 25 yet.
I'm not sure if James Franklin at Penn State should be on
right.
this list.
I mean, you know, Pat Fitzgerald. Maybe it's just all the Power 5 schools they could find that have decent coaches, but yeah, I think there's some other coaches that have done a much better job than these guys, actually.
I think Kyle Whittingham at number 8, after all these programs like Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, USC, Texas A&M, Ohio State, LSU, then Utah, that's a massive nod of respect, because the things he had to do to get into that to that spot right there, because last year, I'm looking at the list from last year, and Witt was, Witt was number 15 last year. So he moved up considerably, and the team did. So yeah. There you go. All right. We'll come back. We got more to talk about today. Scott, I do think it's interesting. Everybody on this list is garbage except for Nick Saban and Kyle Whittingham. Goodbye.
You stink, and I don't like you!
Who are these guys? Well, Kirby Smart, you won a national championship, and you think you should be on a list? Get out of here. Never mind that he beat Nick Saban in route to do it. But all right, we'll take the break. What are the games that are going to be so huge for the Pac-12 this next year? We'll list out some of these teams with local ties and even in the Pac-12 that are going to be really, really key for this conference next season. We'll come back. More to go right here. Unravel continues, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.